Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. This is Carnita Smith with Mission from the Heart Radio, and I'm excited, as I always say, of the joy of the Lord that is within me, and I pray that the joy of the Lord remains in you. In spite of what we may be thinking, what we may be saying, or what we may even be doing, for the joy of the Lord is our strength. So, my brothers and sisters, welcome to Mission from the Heart Radio. And as I said, this is Carnita Smith. And I thank God for His presence. I thank God for the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And I thank God for you, my brothers and my sisters, who are ready, willing, and able to come to the table of grace and be fed today through His Word, His amazing Word, the infallible Word of God, the Bible, our most blessed tool for us to continue to grow and go in His amazing grace. So I thank God for you. I thank God for your faithfulness and His faithfulness in this ministry. So before we start, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Always a blessing to be able to bow our head or fall on our knees or just lay prostrate before our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in prayer. It is an honor to be able to go to Him in grace and humbleness and reverence in prayer to Him, Yahweh God, our holy God, that He would allow us to come to the foot of Jesus because of what He did on the cross for us, that we could come to a God of love, a God of sovereignty, an omnipotent God in grace, in holiness of who He is in prayer. So my brothers and sisters, let's bow our heads and humble our hearts. And if you want, lift your hands as a wave offering to God as we go to Him in prayer. Lord God, here we are today. We are here as your earthen vessel. Use us according to your perfect will and plan today, Lord. We love you with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and we serve no other God, for you said that we are not to do that, but to serve you, for you are the one true God that we are to serve. Lord, we exalt you today in all adoration and praise and thanksgiving unto you. And Lord, we come asking for forgiveness in our thoughts by omission and commission, in our deeds that we willingly did and we knew we shouldn't. Lord, Scripture tells us that we do what we shouldn't do and we don't do what we should. Lord, forgive us in our thoughts and in our words and in our deeds. Let the fruit of our lips, Lord, be, Lord God, be exalting a fruit, a sweet aroma like fruit to your nostrils, Lord. Allow it to be a sweet aroma to you. Tame our tongue, Lord, when we shouldn't say things that do not glorify you or that does not shed light on who you are, our hope. Here we are, Lord, ready, willing, and able for you to work the fruit that is within us out of us, that the world would see you through us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So praise the Lord, my brothers and sisters, for coming together, touching and agreeing in prayer to our Father, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who sits high and looks down low. And we thank Him We thank him and we thank him. So I hope you're ready for us to continue in this wonderful teaching series, When You're in the Waiting Room. And we are going to continue. We're in part five today. And last week, we looked at, in part four, we focused on point two. And make note of the points in this teaching series. So in the very beginning of the teaching series, point one was attitude, our thoughts, while we're in the waiting room. And point two is discipline while we're in the waiting room, our deeds, our habits, discipline. And this is where we are still today. We're camping around this particular point in this teaching series because it's so important to us as brothers and sisters in Christ, as the body of Christ, as we labor in love, our habits, our discipline, our actions, what are we doing? What are we displaying? Are we displaying the fruit of the Spirit? We talked about that on last gathering. For the note takers, our last point in this teaching series, we would be focusing our eyes, our hearts on speaking life, our words while we're in the waiting room. So before I move on to the last point, I want to continue hovering around point two. And our launch pad that has been our foundational scripture has come out of Isaiah chapter 40 in verse 31. Now, we read the whole entire chapter of 40, verses 1 through 31, but our focus verse in that particular chapter has been 31. So let's see. And let's reread Isaiah chapter 40. And if you would walk with me to Isaiah chapter 40 in verse 31. And as I move through my pages in the Bible to get there, I hope you are doing the same with me. Beautiful chapter, just a beautiful chapter of encouragement. The whole book of Isaiah is a blessing to us all. But I wanted to bring out and reread for the benefit of those who may not have been able to hear or follow along with us on the last couple of broadcast concerning this series. So let's read. And I'm going to read this in the New King James translation. And it reads this way: But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Amen. They shall run and not be weary. Some translations may say they will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. Now, of course, this is the encouragement to us while we are in the waiting room. These are promises of God that we won't get tired from walking, that we will continue to walk, continue to run, even if it feels uncomfortable. So I encourage you to read this complete chapter 40 in Isaiah. And for the benefit of time, I don't want to reread it today, but I wanted to bring our focus and attention on verse 31. But those who hope in the Lord, according to the NIV translation, will run their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Amen. Amen. So that is extremely encouraging. Now, for today, we are going to focus on point two. Remember I said discipline, doing. We are going to look at contentment in waiting, or wait contently. And this brings a punch in the gut when we can wait intently or wait contently. And Paul, he demonstrated that very, very well. And this is where we want to camp around. It's what Paul has displayed, habit was, in spite of what he disciplined himself to do, his deeds while he was in the waiting room of his life, of his journey. And a lot of us may be familiar with Paul's background and how convicted he was as a Jew, as a leader in the church, and how he thought he was doing right, as his past history explains in the book of Acts. And I encourage you to read about him and how he was persecuting Christians. And he just believed very strongly that this is what he was to be doing in a rightful way, according to his strong conviction as a righteous brother following the laws. And Jesus caught a hold of his heart and his attention on the road to Damascus. He blinded his sight. He transformed his heart. He cleaned him up on the inside. He transformed his mind. He allowed his eyes to see Jesus. He gave him a new talk. He gave him a new walk. He gave him a new countenance on his outer appearance, although some of them saw Paul, the old Paul. But when they spent time with him, they saw the inside of Paul. They looked past the exterior and they saw into his interior and saw a heart that was shared with their heart, a heart of Christ Jesus, a heart of hope, a heart that was convicted on faith and love and unity amongst the brethren, and a passion and a desire for others, Gentiles, to come to know Jesus as he came to know Jesus in the pardon of their sin. A hope in a man who died on the cross for their sin, whose blood was the redeeming payment, that they too may have a right to the tree of life. Paul, who penned many of the gospels, the epistles, that the churches, the body of Christ, the believers will continue in their faith that they would not waver from the left to the right like a fish out of water. The believers, be encouraged to build each other up in faith. Feed, encourage, build up the weaker one in the faith that they would not stray away on every form of teaching that comes across their path, that they would stand sure-footed as a soldier armed of God, according to Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 18, wearing the full armor of God, the helmet of salvation, the shield of faith, the breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth, the sword of the Spirit, and the gospel of peace. Which brings me to this point: contentment in waiting. Contentment in our waiting room experience. Contentment and peace are intertwined. Remember, my brothers and sisters, peace is one of the fruit of the Spirit. Unity between people. This is what Paul penned in the letter to the Philippians, to the Corinthians, to the churches, to the people, to the body, to us, to you. This is what Paul wanted the church to remember, to not forget. Contentment, unity among the brothers and sisters in Christ. Listen to what the definition says about peace. Now, I read this on last meeting week. Peace is a state of assurance and sense of contentment. It is fellowship, harmony, and unity between individuals. Peace is freedom from worry, hallelujah, disturbance, freedom from worry, disturbance, and oppressive thoughts. Wow, isn't that beautiful? In thought, words, and deeds, peace is freedom from worry, stress, anxiety, disturbances in our mind, in our life, in our surroundings, in a world of chaos and rhetoric and uproar and gnashing of teeth. Peace. Contentment. So this is where we are focusing our attention today. Paul wrote to the church of Philippi, to the people of Philippi, the Philippians. So if you would turn your Bible to Philippians chapter 4 is where we are going to spend our time today, allowing Paul to speak to our hearts. God through Paul's writings, the scriptures, to speak to our hearts today, that we would feed on the very fruit of the word for in Philippians. Now, I want us to read for, not in its entirety, but drop down to verse 10. But now, I'm going to read it in the Amplified translation because I just love the impact that it has when I read these verses in that particular translation. Now, You follow along with me in your translation, starting in verse 10, chapter 4 of Philippians. Now, we're focusing on contentment to what it says in the Amplified translation, God's provision. I rejoice, Paul is speaking, I rejoice greatly in the Lord that now at last you have renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned about me before, but you had no opportunity to show it. Not that I speak from any personal need, for I have learned to be content and self-sufficient through Christ, satisfied to the point where I am not disturbed or uneasy, regardless of my circumstances. Verse 12, I know how to get along and live humbly in difficult times. Now, this is an encouraging word to us while we're in our waiting room experience. And he says, I know how to get along and live humbly in difficult times. And I also know how to enjoy abundance and live in prosperity. Any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing life, whether well fed or going hungry, whether having an abundance or being in need. I can do all things which He has called me to do through Him who strengthens and empowers me. Wow. To fulfill His purpose, I am self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. I am ready for anything and equal to anything through Him who uses me with inner strength and confident peace. Nevertheless, it was right of you to share with me in my difficulties. Verse 15. And you, Philippians, know that in the early days of preaching the gospel, after I left Macedonia, no church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving except you alone. For even in Thessalonica, you sent a gift more than once for my needs. Not that I speak the gift itself, but I do seek the profit which increases to your heavenly account, the blessing which is accumulating for you. But I have received everything in full and more. I am amply supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent me. They are the fragrant aroma offering, an acceptable sacrifice which God welcomes and in which He delights. Verse 19, and may God will liberally supply, and my God will liberally supply full. Let me reread 19, and my God will liberally supply, fill until full your every need according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be the glory forever and ever. Amen. And he says to the Philippians, remember me to every saint in Christ Jesus. The brothers who are with me greet you. All God's people wish to be remembered to you, especially those of Caesar's household. Verse 23, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. There's so much richness in these particular verses that struck me, and I hope in the reading of this particular translation, in the Amplified translation, that it really packed a punch and hit you in the gut to where you feel the intensity of what Paul was sharing with the church, with the brothers and sisters, the Philippian church. He really wants us, my brothers and sisters, to be content regardless of our circumstances, that God will supply all of our needs, no matter what it looks like, no matter what it feels like, regardless of what may not show up on time, what may not be there. As you look in the refrigerator and see that there's not much of anything, as you open mail on a daily basis and your mind tells you that it's just another bill, someone grabbing at your wallet or grabbing at your pocketbook, purse, to receive nothing out of it. As you scroll through your account and look and see nothing. And as you think about how your children may be going astray, and they may not be in the will of God at this point in time, for this season of their life, regardless of all of that, Paul says, in verse, I know how to get along and live humbly in difficult times. These are difficult times, my brothers and my sisters. We are living in a day and a season of unrest. We are living in a day and a season of chaos. And it does not feel good. It does not look good, and it certainly does not sound good, but God. Paul knew the same thing we have today, but God. And he goes on to say in verse 12 of chapter 4 of Philippians, I know how to get along and live humbly in difficult times. And I also know how to enjoy abundance and live in prosperity. That's the but God. He's content in but God. In any and every circumstance, he says, I have learned the secret of facing life. The secret we already possess is God. Know, be still, and know that he is Yahweh. He is the great I am. He is omnipotent. He is omniscient. He is all-knowing. He is sovereign. He is everywhere at one time. God, the holy God, Jehovah, he is I am, according to our scripture, according to what the Holy Spirit reveals to us. Paul said in scripture, encouraging us, the saints, that he knows what we're going through. He knows. He's been there, done that. He's experienced that. Let's let these scriptures help us also understand contentment. So if you would, walk with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. This is also Paul writing to another church in his second letter to the Corinthians. So if you would, walk with me, my brothers and sisters, to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And we're starting in verse 24. So if you would move down to verse 24. And we're going to read through 20. We're going to read through 29. Now we'll take it through 33. So let's read. And Paul says, in verse 24, time. Let's back up to 23. Are they servants of Christ? Is a question. I am speaking like I am out of my mind, but I am so much more in harder labor, in more imprisonment, in worse beating, in frequent danger of death. Do you hear what he's saying? He said, I am speaking like I am out of my mind, but I am so much more in harder labor, in more imprisonment, in worse beating, in frequent danger of death. Verse 24, 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. Wow. He is experienced circumstances of intensity, pressure, pain, uncomfortableness. And this can be us today. Listen, moving on to 25. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. Now, this is what he's telling you and me. I know your pain. I know what you're dealing with. I know your lack. I've been there, Paul says. I have been beat down physically, mentally, verbally. Verse 26, in my frequent journey, I have been in danger from rivers and from bandits, in danger from my countrymen, his own people, and from the Gentiles, in danger in the city and in the country, in danger of the sea and among false brothers, fake people who pretend to be believers in Christ Jesus, who lie, division within the body of Christ. Verse 27, in labor and toil, and often without sleep. How many of us can't sleep through the night because we're worrying, because we're in anxiety about what's going on in our life or what's not going on in our life? We seem to be lonely and can't get past of loneliness. Thoughts of not good enough. Voices in our head trying to tell us we should be over here and over there and everywhere. No. Paul says, in labor and toil, and often without sleep, in hunger and thirst, and often without food, in cold and exposure, to lay his head in the elements, homeless, in the exposure of the elements. 28, apart from these external trials, I face daily the pressure of my concern for all the churches, is what he says. Apart from these external trials, I face daily the pressure of my concern for all the churches. Do you see the brother's heart? He said, apart from all of that that is going on against me on the outside of my soul, on the inside of my physical body, he said, he faces the daily pressure of his concern for all of the churches. His heart is for you and me. His heart was for the body of Christ, the Philippian church, the Corinthian church, and all of those in between. That we stay steadfast, sure-footed on the gospel of Jesus Christ while we are in our waiting room experience, while we're in the waiting for our time and change to come. While we're waiting, his heart is showing where he is focused on the believers. Now, would that be you or me? Is that us today? Or are we in front of the TV, can't get enough of it, showing us snippets of world news today, showing us foolishness in TV shows that are not morally good for watching, showing us through technology and devices everything that we need to be away from? It sucks us and brings about more depression and worry and fear, anxiety and unrest within inside our own souls. My brothers and sisters, Paul says to the believers, to the church, his concerns for us. This is a man who has a heart for his brethren, his sisters in Christ. 29, who is weak and I am not weak? Who is weak is the question he's asking, and I am not weak. Who is led into sin and I do not burn, if I must boast? Is what Paul is saying to the Corinthians. If I must boast, I will boast of the things that show my weakness. The God and Father of the Lord Jesus, who is forever worthy of praise, knows that I am not lying. In Damascus, the governor under King Arica secured the city of the Damascenes in order to arrest me. I was lowered in a basket, hallelujah, through a window in the wall and escaped his grasp. Hallelujah. This is Paul, who has been there where you and I may be in our waiting room experience. He has been there. And because of his heart, his mind, and his love for God, he said in verse 31, the God and Father of the Lord Jesus, who is forever worthy, knows that I am not lying. Be boasting about God. If I must boast, I will boast of the things that show my weakness. He is weak. We are weak, but he boasts about the Father in his weakness. Even though you are in your waiting room experience, he is content. We are to be and encouraged to be content by the very words that Paul wrote to the churches, that we are to be contented. Wait contently. He wasn't just sitting still, soaking and souring and having a self-pity party. No. He was moving around. He moved around in his heart, in his prayers. Yes, he was in lockup. He was locked up, imprisonment in the book of Philippians. When he wrote to the Philippians, he was in jail, my brothers and sisters. So he couldn't physically move around, but it did not stop his heart moving around through his penning of the epistles to the churches. God provided for him, even in the midst of his lockup, his restraint, confinement, his waiting room experience was not beautiful, and they aren't. But God is faithful. God is a God of holiness. God is a God of provision. He provides for us. This is what he did for Paul. And he does it. Don't be angry at God. Don't complain. Don't show forth fruit that are not worthy or worth eating. The bad fruit of woe is me. We know those bad fruits. Don't do this, my brothers and sisters. That's not in you to do. God encourages us through the word, by way of the Holy Spirit, to show forth good fruit. Good fruit. Listen to what it says in Luke 6:43-45. No good fruit bears bad fruit. I'm sorry, no good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Each tree is recognized by its own fruit. People do not pick figs from thorn bushes or grapes from briars. The good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart. This is what Paul did in spite of his environment, circumstance. And the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For out of the overflow of his heart, his mouth speaks. And we'll be talking about that on point 3, speaking life while we're in the waiting room. But this is not what we want to do, is bear bad fruit while we're in the waiting. Let me share some of this bad fruit. And it probably would make you cringe or frown up, is my hope, that you do when you hear some of these bad fruits. And sometimes we just need to hear what they entail. Listen to a few of them. Sexual immorality. Drunkenness. How about filthy language? Self-ambition. That me, myself, and I syndrome. Fits of rage. Anger. Short-tempered, maybe. Thoughts of evil desires. Impurity. Jealousy. Malice. Slander. Hatred. Lust. What about envy? Envy is a sin. Greed. Deceitfulness. Lying. These are fruit of a evil man, as what it said in Luke chapter 6, verses 43-45. The good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart. And the evil man brings what? Evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For out of the overflow of his heart, his mouth speaks. Now we want to speak good fruit. Love, joy, peace, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. We know those are found in Galatians 5, verses 22-23. But Paul tells us to be, or shows us and exemplifies, demonstrates to us that contentment, unity between people, lack of contentment, fellowship, harmony. Listen to Isaiah 9, 6 through 7, and it reads this way: For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness. From that time on and forever, the zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Hallelujah. He is our Prince of Peace. His government and peace, there will be no end. Contented in Christ Jesus while we're in the waiting. While we're in the waiting. Romans 14:19 says, Let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace and to mutual edification. That's our discipline, our habit. Let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace. What leads to contentment. Even though we may see lack, even though our feelings may have been rattled to the degree to where we're caught up in our feelings, and we should not be. We should be like a soldier with the full armor of God, contented, unified. For 1 Corinthians 14:33 says it this way, For God is not a God of disorder, but of peace. So while we're in the waiting, we should have the countenance upon us of peace and contented. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, prayer and petition. Prayer and petition. You know that verse, Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Do not be anxious for anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request. To who? God, Almighty, the great I Am. And it goes on to say, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding. We don't fathom all of God's understanding, but God gives us the understanding by way of his Holy Spirit who lives inside our hearts, who is sitting on the throne of our hearts, his word speaking to us, reviving us, purifying us, transforming us, restoring us as we are in the waiting, which transcends all understanding, will guard our heart and our mind in Christ. Don't get it twisted, my brothers and sisters. I encourage you to hold on to God's unchanging hand in spite of what you may be experiencing today, in spite of what you experienced in the past. Let it go. In spite of what your waiting room experience may be. God has showed us through Scripture. Paul has been there. He knows, but his heart shows, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 31, the God and Father of the Lord Jesus, who is forever worthy of praise. He knows what you're thinking. He knows what you're going through. He knows. Provide us a way out. He knows. He's all-knowing and all-sufficient. His grace is sufficient. Even Paul beckoned to God to remove a thorn in the side of some degree, something that was causing him pain. And God said no. Three times he asked him, and God said no. But God, in his all-sufficient grace, said that's sufficient. His grace, God, unwavering faith, he is faithful and just to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we can think. God is the source of our life. He moves all things, misery and strife. We want to go with him when he comes back. God is. So I encourage you, my brothers and sisters, for those of you who may not know him in the pardoning of your sin, this is a beautiful time for us to stop, drop, and pray. We need to get that done right now. So for those of you who listen to this broadcast on a weekly basis, faithfully, and you have not accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior today, let's do that now. Don't procrastinate. Don't waver. Know that the contentment of your soul can be or is in salvation through Christ Jesus. He is the only way. So let's pray. My brothers and sisters, let's partner together. If you could touch and agree right now, and you lift up that person that is heavy on your heart. It may be your spouse. It may be a wayward child. It may be someone on your job. What about that boss that you just can't seem to let loose of? You've been interceding and praying for her or him. Let's do that right now for them. So let's bow our heads and bow our knee, if you will, if you can, and let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, here I am. Now you repeat after me, but it's your heart. And you come to the throne of grace as humble as you know how and give him your life. Give him your heart today, my brother and my sister. Father, here I am. I need thee every hour and every minute, every second of the day. Oh, Lord, I surrender my life to you. There is no other way but to trust you and obey. Lord, I have nothing. I know nothing. But one thing I do know is that Jesus died for me. Please forgive me in the things that I said, Lord, today that I know I shouldn't have said, in the thoughts that I had that were contrary to what your word teaches me. Forgive me in my thoughts, Lord, today. And my deeds and my words deserve your grace and your mercy, Lord. But here I am. In total surrender to you. As I lift up my holy hands to you, my hands are dirty. Clean me from the inside out. Purify me, Lord God. For Jesus, whom I love and I serve, I trust. Forgive me, Lord. I believe that you are my God. By faith, I believe, Lord. I believe. Here I am, Lord. Here I am. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, my brother, my sister. Congratulations. Hallelujah. I'm getting excited. I'm getting excited in studio today because you have accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah to the one true God. Now, we as a ministry, Mission from the Heart, encourages you to seek out a Bible teaching church. Seek one out and that you would be baptized by submersion of water. And when you come up, hallelujah, singing praises unto God, telling others that you are a believer in Christ Jesus. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. For you are now in the body of Christ. Glory, heaven bound. Praises unto his holy name. Tell somebody today that you have given your heart to Christ, that you are his child. Small group Bible study. Don't stop listening to Mission from the Heart. That you can grow and go in grace. That you would be discipled. Ask God to lead you, guide you to a Bible teaching church as well as a small group. That you would grow and that you would continue to listen to Mission from the Heart Radio. Share with someone about this ministry. It has been a blessing to you that you would want it to be a blessing to them. As we move through the scriptures here in this teaching series, When You're in the Waiting, we focused on contentment, and we will continue with this on next broadcast. On next week. And we will continue to look at a few more scriptures concerning contentment and how Paul demonstrated what he has experienced, what he has gone through, and what he has continued to show us how to hold on to God's unchanging hand when we're in the waiting. Our blessings are coming. They are right around the corner, my brother, my sister. Our hope is in Christ Jesus and him alone, that we rest and find peace and assurance, contentment in him. He promised, and he's never gone back on his promises. So always remember that the grass withers and the flowers, oh yes, they will fade away. We see them season after season. But the word of God will remain forever and ever. God bless you, my brother and my sister, for being faithful listeners to this broadcast. And we will meet again at the table of grace as we continue in this teaching series, When You're in the Waiting Room. God bless, and know that we love you with the heart of Jesus Christ.